As China's economy grows, so does its influence over the rest of the world, and that has some countries feeling uneasy. This summer, Australia's parliament passed a foreign interference law because of China's meddling in its political system. And next door in New Zealand, there's been a scandal involving a Chinese-born member of parliament suspected of spying for Beijing. In the first of our series on China's growing global influence, NPR's Rob Schmitz reports from Down Under.
It's late summer in Canberra, Australia's landlocked capital city. The National Carillon, a bell tower, strikes noon as Charles Sturt University professor Clive Hamilton points out other landmarks.
Just through the trees on the other side of the lake is a massive glass and concrete monolith. That's where ASIO lives.
He points out ASIO, Australia's intelligence agency. Then there's the Federal Police Building. And there, in the middle, is where China built its embassy.
They picked a spot and they had a lot of clout and they've now got a vast compound there. So, you know, they kind of get what they want around here.
That is the topic of Hamilton's new book, Silent Invasion, China's Influence in Australia. But when Hamilton first tried to release the book, his publisher wrote to him that it wouldn't print it because it feared legal action from what it called Beijing's agents of influence.
I was very shocked. I felt betrayed.
The episode vindicated the central thesis of his book that hit a little too close to home.
It's a massive red flag, and if Australia capitulates on this question, in other words, no book seriously critical of the Chinese Communist Party will be published in Australia. I mean, this is essentially means we've sacrificed our democratic freedoms.
At the cost of a booming economy, Chinese demand has fueled a mining boom, creating jobs, pushing up wages, and Chinese investment in real estate has meant rising home values. But many wonder if the price is too high. Another publisher eventually released Hamilton's book, but he says the whole episode has reminded him of how deeply China's Communist Party has infiltrated Australian society.
From taking over Chinese associations.
Associations, says Hamilton, devoted to students and scholars and Chinese language churches.
Buying political influence, promoting Beijing loyal people into elected political positions.
Hamilton's research counts more than 40 current and former Australian politicians who he says are often unwittingly doing the bidding of China's Communist Party.
Buying influence in universities by sponsoring think tanks, cyber intrusion operations, you name it, they're doing it.
But Australia is beginning to fight back.
Foreign powers are making unprecedented and increasingly sophisticated attempts to influence the political process.
Last December, Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull announced a massive overhaul in Australia's espionage laws after a senator accepted illegal donations from a Chinese businessman with close ties to China's Communist Party.
They will protect and strengthen our democracy, and they will ensure that Australians make decisions based on the wishes of Australians.
The new law will require anyone in Australia working on behalf of a foreign power to declare that connection to the government. But Rory Medcalf, head of the National Security College at Australian National University, says these connections can be tough to gauge among Chinese citizens who come from a country where all parts of society are integrated with the party's objectives.
Chinese citizens owe a higher loyalty to the party than to the state itself. So we're really, what we're dealing with here is the largest secret organization in human history.
China's embassy in Australia has responded to allegations of improper influence in that country as racist attacks on Chinese people. Medcalf says the problem is not the people, but the Communist Party. And he says some of the most vulnerable victims of China's Communist Party are Chinese people who have left their country to live in democracies like Australia and New Zealand. More than 1,000 miles across the Tasman Sea in New Zealand, Chen Weijian rests on his balcony in a leafy suburb of Auckland. He left China back in 1991, escaping arrest for working on a pro-democracy newspaper. He restarted the paper in New Zealand, but even here, he says Beijing caught up with him. A pro-party newspaper in Auckland sued him for defamation after he criticized them for being too pro-Beijing. Ongoing legal fees left him bankrupt.
Their paper was funded by businesses supported by China's government. So an overseas Communist Party's propaganda wing crushed our democratic newspaper.
Ever since, Chen says he's watched as China's Communist Party made deeper inroads into New Zealand society and government. Last year, local media discovered that a Chinese-born member of New Zealand's parliament, Dr. Jen Yang, had lied to authorities on his citizenship application. It turned out that Yang, a member of the ruling party at the time, had taught spies at one of China's best-known military intelligence schools before he moved to New Zealand.
We've been trying to talk to you for 3 days. We need to talk to you about your links with Chinese military intelligence.
Talk to my boss, okay?
No, we will talk to
my boss. Talk to my boss.
A local reporter for New Zealand's newsroom tried to talk to Yang last year. He declined an interview request from NPR.
It's clear Jen Yang is a Chinese spy.
Again, Chen Weijian.
But people in his party think he's good for relations with China. A lot of his party's donations come through him. And he often leads government trips to China to make lucrative deals there.
Yang played a prominent role during New Zealand's official visits to China in 2013 and 2016. And as his political influence grew, so did New Zealand's dependence on China's market. China is by far the biggest investor in New Zealand's dairy industry. A quarter of all imported milk in China comes from the island nation. Yang was later removed from parliamentary select committees on foreign affairs, defense, and trade, yet still serves in New Zealand's parliament, leaving some wondering why. Winston Peters is New Zealand's Deputy Prime Minister and the country's Minister of Foreign Affairs.
Because at that level of growing public interest, and I would think intelligence interest as well, one would be naive to think that a response would not be forthcoming.
U.S. analysts consider the Jen Yang case evidence that China is exploiting New Zealand as a weak link in the so-called Five Eyes, the intelligence alliance involving the U.S., the U.K., Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. This angers Peters.
This country turned up to two world wars 2 years before the United States on both occasions. So we don't like that sort of talk down here.
But it's the work of a fellow New Zealander that has shown the brightest spotlight on Chinese influence operations inside the country. Last year, University of Canterbury professor Anne-Marie Brady made a splash with her report, Magic Weapons. It revealed the activities of the United Front Work Department, a Communist Party agency that Chinese leader Xi Jinping has revived, directing it to guide, buy, and coerce political influence abroad.
China under Xi is following a very ambitious foreign policy, and the United Front work is meant to support that.
Earlier this year, Brady announced that her office and her home were robbed. And before one of the break-ins, she received a letter threatening pushback to people like her criticizing Beijing.
Items related to my work were taken, while valuables were not.
Her laptops, phones, and flash drives were stolen. Everything related to her research. In the summary of her Magic Weapons report, Brady writes that democracies have magic weapons too. The right to choose our governments, checks on power, freedom of speech and association, and a free press. Now, she writes, is the time to use them. Rob Schmitz, NPR News, Wellington, New Zealand.